You're listening to the audio podcast of Calvary Cork, a Christian church that aims to glorify God in our city and far beyond. Join us as we take a closer look at the book of Ephesians and explore how our true identity is found in Jesus Christ.
Well, you're very welcome to Calvary Cork. My name is Con, for those who don't know me. I've been a member here now for a number of years, and Mike has asked me today to, as a parent, to deal with these verses that we've heard a while ago. So let's pray. Father, I ask you to open our hearts now, Father, for what you have for us to hear today, Father. May you be glorified in my words. May I stay focused on the message you have for us, Father. Help me to work through the nerves now, Father, and communicate what you want us to communicate, Father. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the encouragement of your word that guides us in our daily lives, Father. I ask you to bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to put a proviso at the start. First of all, I'm not a trained teacher, Bible teacher or otherwise. I'm not an expert at parenting, but I have been a parent for 32 years. And in that role, watching our two girls grow up to become women and to guide them along, and to see our eldest daughter become a mother and a wife, it's given us great joy, and we're grateful to God for the opportunities and for the guidance he gave us in doing that. I'm going to resist mentioning my granddaughter because then the tears will start, but I've just mentioned her now, so there you go. I'm going to try and decipher these words that God has given us today and see if we can apply them in our lives. I'm not a theologian, so for the theological people here, I'm sorry to let you down to start, but I'll try and make it up in some other ways. I would appreciate some grace as I ramble or go off topic, because I tend to do that. And I may walk over here and walk over there, and you know, this. But in today's passage, Paul acknowledges honour for Christian family, for Christian parents. In doing so, he refers to the fifth commandment. So God commands that we honour our parents. He then addresses the father as the chief discipline. During this process, he must not provoke the children to anger. So the father assumes this role as the head, and that's based on the Christian family structure that we spoke about in Ephesians 5. The father as the head of the family, leading and guiding in conjunction with his wife, supporting him and raising their children. So this is the basis which this instruction is set out on, to honour your father and your mother. So what does that mean? Well, what it means, honour our father and mother may change as we grow, but the principle always endures. The adult child does not owe the parent obedience, but does owe the parent honour. So it starts with obedience. Like, when I hear the word obedience, for some reason, it doesn't resonate in my normal vocabulary, but I do resonate with bold, because we were bold. And from my own experience, as a child, you know, there's a word in Cork for an open-handed connection with the face, it's called a clatter. And when we were kids, we could get a clatter from a neighbour, from a teacher. No, I was taught by the Christian Brothers, and they had some very inventive ways of dealing with that. Also, a neighbour, a parent, it could happen if you were misbehaving on the street or at school or wherever you were. The key was not to ever mention it when you went home, because if you did, you got another one, because you must have deserved the first one, so there was no defence. So it could be a lose-lose or a win-win, depending on how you handle it. The responsibility of the parent is to teach their children to be obedient to God and to the family. Now, in my own experience, I've been blessed with earthly parents, and they're not in our lives at the moment, and that's just by their choice, but that's the way things go. But it's difficult to start out as a parent when you have nothing to draw on. So I'm so grateful for God's word that it helped us as we moved along. I left home at a very early age, but I still, I'm under God's law, so I still honor my parents. So how do I honor my parents? Well, I pray for them on a daily basis. I pray that God will give me an opportunity to share the gospel with them someday. And based on the parable Jesus told of the workers paid equally, I know there's still an opportunity, and there will be an opportunity for a long time yet to come. So I pray for that. But most important of all, I trust God that this was his choice for me, and that I find his peace in that, and I move on from there. Now, what are children to be obedient to? Well, first, they are to be obedient to God's word, as delivered by their parents. In a Christian home, God's word will be a priority, as we all know. God doesn't just give you a baby and say, there you go, don't drop it, see how you get on. It's not like that. He doesn't do that in any stage of our lives. He doesn't do it in our marriages. He doesn't do it in our work life. He doesn't do it in our Christian walk. He doesn't let us there on our own. God's word guides us every day. It's the same. It has applied for thousands of years, and it will apply forever. God's word. He's brought us here today to hear this. And whatever is in here, in this humble effort that I'm going to make, may help somebody here, or may resonate with somebody here, or may show God's word or something. That's all we can pray for. But God has given us his word and given us the Holy Spirit to guide us. And that's where we need to go. So the information is there, but we need to know it. We need to spend time with God. We need to spend time with his word. We need to spend time at church. We need to spend time, quiet time. We need to spend time with our families sharing God's word. We need to get to know him. And then when you know him, you can apply his wisdom in your lives. So it's you know, godly parents produce godly children who become godly parents. And God's family can grow on this. Jesus himself said of children in Luke 18, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belong to the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. So Jesus himself acknowledged the children and their role. Children listen to and imitate their parents. This begins at an early stage. And, you know, the levels of instruction from parents have to change with the physical growth of the child. The small child gets instruction. The bigger child gets instruction. The teenage child gets instruction. The adult child even gets instruction. You will have to have these conversations with your child at different stages. You will have to have what we call the talk. But here in Calvary, 2 weeks ago, we saw that Wavy has a flair for that type of thing, so maybe you could contract it out. Maybe we can... So, we cover everything here in Calvary. All possibilities. So the Christian parents need to feed their children according to their growth. In other words, the instruction needs to be given to the child at the child's appropriate age. Now, last night I was reading through this for Dee, my wife, and for Amy, my youngest daughter. And, you know, she's 26 now, and she, you know, she's come through what we're talking about today. So I was interested in her opinion as to how she felt, because, you know, you're following God's instruction. You're applying it to your life. You're applying it to your children. And, you know, it's nice to hear. She reminded me of two things in her life that she felt God's love and she felt our love for her. When they were quite small, we used to have what we call a pizza night. So we know what the menu was anyway. It was pizza. And on that night, we'd be in our pajamas. We'd get a pizza. We'd talk. We'd play games. But most of all, it was a time for the girls. If they had a topic that they wanted to discuss, they could discuss it with no repercussions. And some of them were for doozies. I can remember Dee reacting to one, but we won't go to that now. So, like, in other words, there was no consequences. You could bring this up. And she resonated with that. She said that she felt that she was being heard. And her opinion mattered, and that's, you know, that was amazing to see. She also remembered when in later years when she used to go out and you know, your child, you send your child out there, you rear them, you give them the best of you, and you hope that, you know, that everything's going to be fine. But, you know, in society today, things can happen. So I always said to the girls, we always said to the girls, it doesn't matter what happens, you come home and we'll sort her out. Just come home, no matter what the problem is, whether it's your fault, whether it's somebody else, whatever it is, if there's any kind of peer pressure or whatever, just come home, we'll sort her out. And she said that to know that was great, to know that we cared enough, that we loved her enough, that we'd get through it together. So that's just a little family history, but I felt it was worth sharing today. Setting Christian rules for your children. The Christian child needs to know the rules. They need to know what it is that has been asked of them at all stages of their life. And, you know, it's important that we don't confuse children, that we don't make them feel that, you know, that they're in a dictatorship. But they need to feel that they're in a loving environment. And they need to be nurtured. And nurturing is very important. And God shows us this in his word on many, many occasions. So we need to make the rules. They need to be specific. They need to be understood and communicated. And it changes as the child goes. So we need to make sure that when something changes, that we need to communicate that as well. Too many rules can lead to confusion. So we need to be clear and concise, and we don't need to be, you know, having this whole wall full of rules. You'll do this, do that, and scratch them out when we feel like it. It needs to be consistent. So if you're familiar with the book, The Message, which is the Bible layman, I love the translation of today's message. It says, fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the ways of the Lord. So don't exasperate them. It's not a rush job. It's a natural progression. Just the same as our Christian walk. God does not expect us to be anything more than we are at this time, as long as when we're close to him and we're applying his word in our lives. He's not expecting anything major from us. He knows that we're human. He knows that we'll mess up. That's the reason that we're looking at an empty cross. That's the reason that Christ had to come and die on the cross, so we could be saved. Because we can't do it on our own. We never will be able to do it on our own. So don't try. This instruction needs to be given in a loving and nurturing manner. We have to nurture our children and bring them forward in the Lord. Harsh parenting leads to destruction. Harsh parenting can not alone turn your children away from yourself but from God. And also, it will reflect on you and your understanding of his word. So discipline. How does God feel about this? Well, I've chosen two verses that more or less give us an indication of how God feels about it. Firstly, in Genesis 2, before the fall, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord commanded a man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now here we see God making a rule of obedience for Adam and Eve and laying out the consequences of not following it. And after the fall, we see the consequences. And God had said to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall bring you forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of which you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So here's the punishment. So God is very serious about this, about his commands. And without instruction and consequences, we simply drift around. We simply become completely embroiled in secular society, in pursuing money, cars, career, and these are all good things in their own way, but to be the sole function of your life is not good for you. And discipline needs to be taken seriously and needs to be consistent. There's no point in making rules without consequences. But you know, we need to be very cautious when we're administering these things. We need to check ourselves and our hearts on a regular basis. There's no point in reacting in anger. There's no point in having a bad day and making everybody else pay for it. When you do that, you take God out of the equation. So when these situations arise, what we need to do as Christian parents is we need to step back and get our hearts right and make sure that this is not a reaction, this is not a punishment, it's just a consequence and it needs to be addressed. But we need to keep our godly perspective. If we lose it, then it's not going to benefit the child or ourselves. So be calm, be careful, and be close to God. The passage we're discussing today, you know, it focuses on a godly interaction between parents and children. But as we've discussed through Ephesians, you know, not all of us have children. Not all of us are married. Or maybe some, and there's glory in that. You can glorify God there. But you know, there is interaction with children all through our lives. You know, they'll be upstairs for a couple of hours today with people who are interacting with them who may not be parents. We will have opportunities in our lives to interact with children and young adults, maybe in the workforce, maybe in different social groups or whatever. So there's something here for all of us. It's not just for mothers and fathers. It's for all Christian and Christian living. The Christian love and experience needs to be shared and needs to be shared with everybody. God is waiting for the lost to be brought to him. We were once lost ourselves. So never underestimate the power of our God. Little story I heard, and I thought it was maybe a good description of what shouldn't happen. Young man sitting with his dad at evening at home, and the phone rings, and his dad says, "If that's for me, tell him I'm not here." And they go for a meal later. Family go for a meal. As they leave the restaurant, the mother realizes they've been undercharged, and she says, "Ah, that's their own fault. They should have tatted her up better." And on the way home, the dad talks about the scanner he has that saved him a fortune and speeding fines. The son goes to his room and kneels down to pray and says, "Lord, thank you for this good day, because this day last week I was grounded for cheating on my exam." So that gives us an idea of what can happen. You can communicate Christian living with your children, with your friends, with your neighbours. You can communicate, you can pray with your children, you can pray, you can read your Bible, you can come to church every Sunday. But if you live your life outside this instruction, then your children will follow suit. And so will the other people who are being influenced by your actions. Your children will follow this, you can be sure of that. It is very important that we not just talk the talk, but we walk the walk. We're all exposed to this every day, and people are watching what just not that we're being focused on for any particular reason, not victimization or point the finger, but your life is under scrutiny from the people around you. And if you tell somebody to trust God and to pray to God and he will look after them, and you're not doing the same thing yourself, well then it's fairly empty direction. James 2:14, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" So is there no hope for children who are not walking with the Lord after receiving instruction? And the answer there is yes, there is always hope. Because when we see the loss of hope, we're not looking through a godly perspective, we're looking through an earthly perspective. There's always hope. We serve a great God, omnipresent, omnipotent, who is, was, and will always be. We can't fathom our God through our own minds, so we have to remember that while any situation that we find ourselves in, that we feel hopeless, we need to trust in God. We need to give it to God. And it's only when we don't do that that the frustration sets in. It's only when we don't do that that we get diverted from our course. We serve a great God. So in conclusion, this is going to be the shortest sermon you ever had. Mike will not be happy with this. Last night I managed to get about 19 minutes. Speaking too quick, forgetting bits, etc., etc. But today I've slowed down, and I'm still not getting much more. But you know, God loves and supports Christian families. It pleases Him that that example will guide others. He cares deeply about the lost. So your example, your family's example, your example is very important for those that God is seeking to save. So share it when you can. It takes courage. It's not easy. It's a challenge to us all the time. We wait and we think. But you know, over the years, anything that I have shared, I have no idea where it's gone. And that's not our purpose. We may be there for the planting, but we may never see the harvest. But God will. And Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for evil, but to give you a future and hope." We have hope. We have an empty cross. There's a victory. There's a victory that we will all share in someday. So as you leave this place today, remember your responsibilities in your Christian walk. Remember the joys. It's a happy thing. It's a wonderful situation to be in, to know that you are in close proximity to God. And I know we all stray away, we do, and you know, we fail, and that's, He knows this and He expects this. But God has immeasurable love for us. I don't think that we fully grasp that love as much as we try. But let the world see that you belong to Him. And let the world see that you will walk in paradise with Jesus someday. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word that guides us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for our families, for our church family, for our siblings, and for the people around us, Father, that have influenced us and that we can influence, Father. Help us to be true to your word. Help us to share it when we can, Father. Help us to share it in every possible opportunity you give us, Father. And help us to be aware of that opportunity. Thank you for the church family here in Calvary Cork, Father. Thank you for the many blessings that we have here. Thank you for this place that we can freely come and worship you. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you want to connect with Calvary Cork, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Or visit us at calvarycork.org. We meet Sunday mornings at 11:15, 3 Penrose Quay, Cork City.